This is The Topic is Trek, episode 36 for Friday, January 18th, 2019. Clinton and Craig and Chuck on the ocean. Welcome to The Topic is Trek, the podcast that runs on impulse power. Join us for a journey where no show has gone before. If it has to do with Star Trek, there's a good chance we'll talk about it. Sooner or later, because on this show, the topic is Trek. Engage already! And engage we shall. Welcome to the first Topic is Trek of 2019.
Yay.
That's yay. That's all I got on that.
And there was much rejoicing.
Yay. Whoop. Hi, everyone. I'm Clinton Allvord, one of your Topic is Trek co-hosts. And beaming in to join me, as always, are Mr. Craig Stepp.
Hello.
Hello. And Mr. Chuck Tomasi.
Hello.
They kind of, once again, you stopped mid-beam. I'm not sure how that all worked out for you.
I'm stuck in a bulkhead. Let me...
He's only from the waist up now.
And returning to the show is special guest Sherilyn Fierabend. I probably butchered that name, but you probably know her as simply as CJ. Previously of the Love, Long, and Prosper and Mighty Mommy podcast. Why she... agreed to join us again, I'll never know, but hey, CJ.
Hey, sup?
I finally learned how to say Rene Aubergenois, and you throw that name at me.
Well,
it's a Fire Robind.
Ah, see, that was not even close.
Can make a mnemonic excellent out of that.
And as of the recording date of this episode, there is one day until the release of season 2 of Star Trek Discovery, but by the time you listen to this, the episode will have already been out. So and you know much more than we do.
Time travel.
Yeah. We'll talk about that next time around. But this episode, we are so full with stories and tales that we're going to condense two of our segments into one and simply call this sub-warp speed subspace chatter.
Roundtable airlock thing.
So, I have no sound effect for that. Let's just press like all that. The buttons.
Do them all.
2019 is starting off awesome. All right. Let's begin with our first story, and CJ is going to tell us about it.
Okay. We're going to talk about how the new Picard series could change the Star Trek universe.
What?
From Nerdist. Yeah. Ever since we heard that we'd be getting a new Star Trek series focusing on Patrick Stewart's character of Captain Jean-Luc Picard, fans have been speculating about just what the series plot would entail. We knew it would take place some 20 years since we last saw the last character in Star Trek, Nemesis, but that's about it. In recent interview with Hollywood Reporter, series producer Alex Kurtzman dropped the I hate typos. Sorry.
We get them all the time.
Comicbook.com. You have one to go.
All right. He dropped the first hints at what he has in store for former captain of the Enterprise D. Most significantly, Kurtzman said Picard's life was radically altered by the dissolution of the Romulan Empire, referring to an event that occurred in J.J. Abrams' 2009 Star Trek film. This one sentence gave fans two strong clues about what's to come. First, the events of the 2009 film, which rebooted the franchise into an alternative timeline, won't be negated. We will see how the destruction of one of the principal powers in the entire Star Trek canon will affect the universe we last properly visited in 2002's Star Trek Nemesis. And second, fans should prepare themselves for a very different Jean-Luc Picard than the one we're used to. Uh-oh. If the notion of what happened to Luke Skywalker, what's a wrong?
What? Yeah, crossing the streams.
Stick with us here. Hold on.
The Last Jedi sent you into a tizzy. You might want to brace yourself.
Ooh. Dang, she's good at cold reads, isn't she?
Indeed. Well, you're never appearing on this show again because you're too good.
You're making Craig look bad.
Yeah.
So quickly, what do we think about this? I mean, to me, it makes sense that in the 2009 movie, We start off essentially in the prime timeline, off screen, of course, but what happens to Romulus happens in the prime timeline. So to me, this makes perfect sense.
Yeah. I remember thinking, like, for a brief moment, I went, what? Because I was thinking, you know, Kelvin Tomlin, I went, wait a minute. The first 10 minutes of this movie is in prime, you know, so that does make sense to me.
Absolutely.
I know how excited the troops were when I was at the Star Trek convention in Vegas in August, and they announced it there. That's where they made the announcement that this was coming. And so I know that Trek fans are just so excited, myself included.
And we don't have a date yet for the premiere, but we know it's supposed to be before the end of the year. So we'll keep an eye, an ear, a nose,
a communicator, a tribble.
No idea.
CBS All Access, right?
Absolutely.
Oh, yes. I'm keeping my subscription.
December 28th.
Yeah, exactly.
Before the end of the year.
All right, but we have to keep moving. So we're going to move on to our next story, and it's a sad one.
Oh, we get to throw fruit at Craig.
Spoiler alert, Trek 4 is canceled. Okay, next story. Next story.
Oh, no.
Not canceled. I thought they just parked it.
Well, wait a minute. So here we go. The Hollywood Trade reports that the untitled film which would have been the fourth in the franchise would begin with 2009's J.J. Abrams' Star Trek has been shelved.
Okay.
Director S.J. Clarkson has reportedly signed on to direct a now canceled film. Clarkson took on a job of working on the Game of Thrones prequel show. So the film in which the iteration would reportedly have brought Chris Hemsworth and as George Kirk and a time travel adventure. Sounds like a road trip movie.
Yeah.
Wacky fun ensues. No,
we're going to Wally World.
Star Trek's closed.
Chris Hemsworth. Chris should have told you.
Yeah, there we go.
Starfleet's closed. The moose outside should have told you. Anyway, so... So it looks like because the Chris's have backed out, it looks like the movie's been kind of shelved and they've taken it off the.
That's going to make it a little tough if you're missing your two prime actors.
Well, right. I had an idea of how to resolve this. What they should do is have Kelvin Spock go to save Earth in the same way the original Spock tried to, and then go back into the prime.
My head hurts.
Work it back into the prime. Sorry to say prime director.
I picture Doc Brown drawing on a chalkboard at this point.
Yeah.
We diverged here.
I made this crude model of the universe. No,
okay. We have to get jumped to Warp 88.
This Earth is not to scale. It's okay.
You just put Doc Brown in the TARDIS in front of the Circle K. Just keep crossing those streams.
Yeah. Thanks, Gandalf.
Whoa.
All right, we'll move on to our next story where we have positive news.
Can I push the special new button yet?
Not yet. We're holding at this point. Man. Star Trek producer announces more animated spinoffs. This comes courtesy of The Daily Dot. I guess I'm not sure how you pronounce. Star Trek TV franchise is expanding fast. Along with Star Trek Discovery, the recent Star Trek Short Treks, the upcoming Picard series, and an animated show called Lower Decks, CBS has more projects in the works. Producer Alex Kurtzman told The Hollywood Reporter this week that there are two more animated projects on the way. Ooh. Animated Short Treks, in the same vein as the live-action shorts we saw last year, and a kid-friendly cartoon series, while Lower Decks will be a comedy from Rick and Morty writer Mike McMahon, this new series will have a family-friendly tone in line with Star Wars animated shows like Rebels. In fact, Kurtzman actually name-checked Star Wars as a key influence.
Whoa.
Quote, I go back to my childhood and Luke Skywalker, the farm boy who looks out at the twin sons of Tatooine and imagines his future. Trek never gave me that. What? Trek was, that was me editorializing there. Trek was always fully formed adults already in Starfleet and people who have decided who they are. And it never was aspirational that way. It's important to me to find a way to go back and reach younger kids with a way that Star Trek should and never really has. So, close quote, I'm not sure I buy into that. I was a kid when I started watching Star Trek. It didn't really bother me that these were adults.
Hey, we all turned out okay.
Yeah, mostly. Well, okay. I'm beginning to think Alex Christman has a point here.
So. Don't watch Star Trek, kids. You might turn into a podcaster.
Hey, exactly. By the way, that's twice we've mentioned Luke Skywalker in the show.
And I know.
This is a show about what?
Because the topic is Trek. All right.
So I have to say, because it's called Lower Decks. And you know why they had to call it Lower Decks? Because on the formerly known as Love, Long, and Prosper podcast, the skit that we did at the beginning of every show was actually called Private Quarters. Ooh. And so this is completely based on that, apparently, because it's the same people, right? We were the ship's handyman and the ship's beautician, right? That's who these are. The Lower Decks are the people you don't hear about. But we that was our thing, Private Quarters. So I don't know about this Lower Decks thing. I'm just saying.
I smell lawsuit.
I don't know.
Somebody hit the lottery.
I'm looking forward to it.
She's buying drinks on Star Trek Cruise 4.
Yeah.
Now, the good thing is Star Trek is not overextending itself in this regard, because now we've now listed all the shows that are going to be Star Trek related that are going to be coming out. Isn't that correct?
Hey, no, wait, I just got new word that there's Star Trek The Muppets is coming.
No. Star Trek Babies. Yeah.
But I think Chuck might have disagree as far as that's all the things.
That is not all, because CBS just announced Star Trek series focusing on Section 31, starring our own Emperor Michelle Yeoh. So the universe of Star Trek on television continues to expand with yet another announcement today of a show previously rumored Star Trek is going Black Ops. Can I push it now?
Yes. Go ahead.
Black alert.
I love that new button. Following a report from Hollywood Trades back in November, today CBS made news of a Section 31 show with Michelle Yeoh official. This morning, CBS announced that the new live-action series was in development for CBS All Access, starring Michelle Yeoh. Am I saying that right? Close enough?
Yeoh?
That's how I say it.
Yeoh, man. Okay, Yeoh.
We'll find out if we're wrong.
Yeoh.
Yeah, Michelle Yeoh, hey.
Okay. Is she going to be around next year?
I don't know. She's not dying, if that's what you mean.
Let's call her up and get her on the cruise. Okay, anyway, she has had a recurring role, of course, in Star Trek Discovery. According to CBS, the untitled series, quote, will expand on Yeoh's current role as a member of Starfleet Section 31 Division, a shadow organization within the Federation on Star Trek Discovery, among other shows. The series will be produced by CBS Television Studios, Secret Hideout, and Roddenberry Entertainment. Alex Kurtzman, Heather Caden, Rod Roddenberry, and Trevor Roth will serve as executive producers. Aaron Bears will serve as co-executive producer along with Bo Yeon Kim and Erica Lippold, who will also write the series. Kurtzman announced that Kim and Lippold will serve as showrunners.
Okay, I'm going to call Black Alert on that one. We got to move on.
Yeah.
We
should do all of our shows. This is lightning round format.
Oh, my goodness. It's like I'm out of breath already. And we've got one more thing to cover. So we now have, like, what is that? That's 15 Star Trek series. So we're looking forward to some more of those coming up in CBS All Access.
It's just like Friday the 13th at this point. Yeah.
Hey, it's a new week, new Star Trek series. I'm glad they're not overexposing, which they promised they weren't going to do. All right, but we got one more thing to talk about. We were talking about short treks, and we had another short trek premiere in between our last episode and this one, and that is the one with Harry Mudd, the escape artist. And there will be spoilers in here if you haven't seen that short yet, but it's been out for a couple of weeks now, so hopefully you've seen it by now. Of course, Harry's up to his old tricks, and he's been captured, and all sorts of things ensue. I don't want to get into all the details of it, but what did you guys, I know CJ hasn't seen it yet, and so we're kind of spoiling it for her as it is. But Craig, what did you think of it? Oh,
Craig
is gone. All right. Well,
no, I'm right here.
Oh, what did you think of it?
I'm sorry. I thought he was in the transporter.
Oh,
I was in the cone of silence.
He slipped into the Kelvin timeline.
Yeah. No, I really liked it. I think there was a discussion about a couple of finer points between the three of us about the episode on the while we were on the ship. But I really liked it. I thought it was typical Harry, you know, the way he was working the two parties, not really against each other, but the way they were working each other or he was working them, which was you could tell it was kind of like a routine almost with him, the way things were working. So. But I think the overall, I think it was spot on.
What was the line? If I had any money, I'd be sipping jippers on a beach somewhere.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Whatever jipper is. We should have had t-shirts made for the cruise is what we should have had with that on it.
Why weren't there jippers on the ship?
Why weren't there?
Because they would have had to make them up like within 24 hours.
I thought it was a great episode that the more I watch Rain do that part, the more you start to see very Harry Mudd-ish things going on with him, that you can kind of see that character leading into Harry Mudd. Because the first time we see Harry Mudd in the original series, he's not the lighthearted person that we have in the second time in I, Mudd. Mm-hmm. He's much more devious and straightforward. And so I think that this is a nice spin on that character. I also noticed that I'm sure you guys also caught that at the end of the when there's all the Harry Mudds there, that one of them is dressed as if it's the Harry Mudd from I, Mudd.
Oh yeah, I did not see that. I'm gonna have to go back and look. Yeah. Great Easter egg.
I watched it twice and I ended up seeing that the second time.
What about you, Chuck? What did you think?
I give it two anatomical appendages up.
Pointy ears? Is that what the
we need a scoring system on this show.
We do.
Six Vulcaneers.
That's right.
12 Quatlus for the...
There we go. We'll just make up Quatlus. No, I really liked it. I like what they're doing with the character. I like the way Rain is portraying that character. And especially the reveal at the end. I'm not going to spoil it at this point, but very well done. Like, nice Harry Mudd touch on that.
Excellent. Hey, all right. By the way,
I know we have a lot to do tonight, but I was thinking, should we actually each of us rate the four?
Let's do that next. We'll do that next week, so we can kind of recap what all four of them were.
And that'll transition into our first couple episodes too.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Fine. All right. Fair enough.
So we're done with our warp speed subspace chatter roundtable. There we go. Pressing some
buttons. I think our starship left skid marks. That was quick.
So the reason we rushed through that so quickly, and that's in air quotes because took a while anyway, is because our main mission is we're going to talk about our experiences on Star Trek The Cruise 3.
Yay!
So let me give you a quick overview of the nuts and bolts of the cruise. It took place January 4th through 10th, 2019, aboard the Norwegian Jade. And the passengers included myself, Chuck, Craig, CJ, Chuck's wife, Craig's wife, my wife, and about 2,400 other Star Trek fans.
Our closest friends.
Have time to name all of them.
Well, they're all my closest friends now.
There's Woody from Dallas, who looks just like Patrick Stewart.
And there's Craig, but spelled the other way. Anyway, so the guest list included, now, you ready? So get a pencil. It's going to be a test afterwards. Will Wheaton, Jason Isaacs, Jonathan Frakes, Brent Spiner, Michael Dorn, Gaze McFadden, Denise Crosby, John DeLancey, Mary Chifo, Kenneth Mitchell, Rekha Sharma, Rene Aubergenois, Nana Visitor, Casey Biggs, Chase Mastersons, Mac Rodenchick, Ethan Phillips, who had to leave early, Robert Picardo, Connor Trenier, Michael Westmore, Dr. Aaron McDonald, Dr. Phil Plait, the Bad Astronomer, Rob Perlman, J.K. Woodward, Lolita Fajito, Jordan Hoffman, Thomas Dolby, Band 47, and DJ James Biko.
Somebody practiced before the episode.
My.
Except I got two corrections. Can I correct you? It's Max Gridenchek.
Yes. Oh, sorry.
Gridenchek and Lolita Fajko.
Yes. Okay. Again, not a good person pronouncing names, as I think I've already proved.
Yeah. Just in case anyone didn't know, because those are two people that I adore, so I just had to do it.
Okay. But she gets my name all wrong all the time, people, just so you know. Anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about, David.
Yes, I mean, exactly. David.
Wesley.
All right. And the shipmate stops in Great Stirrup Cay, which is in Norwegian's private island in the Berry Islands.
Just Georgetown, north of the Bahamas, if you're wondering.
Yes. Georgetown, Grand Cayman, the Cayman Islands, and Falmouth, Jamaica. All right. Now, let's get into this. First of all, I want to describe a bit about the ship itself and how they set the thing up on very short amount of turnaround time. You guys can comment on this as well, that they did a lot of work kind of trying to theme the ship to be very Star Trek. I was noting the fact we have this giant Delta shield in the atrium, and there's all these tiki, giant floor-to-ceiling tikis.
It wasn't just, the first thing I noticed, it wasn't the Delta shield that was vertical on the floor. It was the one on the ceiling.
Ah!
There is a Delta shield right as you walk in, before you go into that atrium part. And I went, is that natural, or did they actually build that? It was like bumped down from the ceiling. It was kind of like the Delta Shield table. You don't really notice it at first on After Trek.
Right.
Yeah, it was like that, only on the ceiling. I went, okay, that was subtle, but very effective, at least for me anyway. Sorry, keep going.
And the tikis were, I believe it was the artwork they used for the tiki mugs, but just blown up. I mean, larger than.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just huge, and it looked like they were carved out of wood. And each side of each of the posts had a different face on it. So you had Kirk and Spock and Khan and a Gorn and the Salt Monster, all these different things. The elevators had turbo lifts.
I loved that.
Yeah.
On them.
I know. I loved that the turbo lifts. The artwork inside, because you're mentioning the Elcar displays, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So they were actually different than they were the first year. And I wish I'd taken pictures of all of them, because I did go on the very first cruise, which did not have the tikis. It had a different centerpiece. I don't remember the Delta shield being there, but I think that was on the last year's cruise. But but the tikis and all that was new, and the displays, some of them were the same, but they did change some of them out so that they matched the theme of this particular ship. Like, where they're talking about Elren. I don't know how to say her name. Loren. Mary Chifo's Lorel. Character.
Lorel.
I don't know why I said the M. But yeah, like, she was mentioned in one of them, and she obviously wasn't on the last ship. You know, so I like that they updated some of them, and then some of them were still the same, like talking about the Orion women and that sort of thing.
Very cool.
Let the record show that I gave a correct pronunciation of a name right there. All right.
Yeah. I got it totally wrong.
They also renamed several of the bars and the restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. We had Quark's City Bar. We had the Captain's Club, the Klingon Carnivore Restaurant.
Yep.
One of the bars up in front is 13 forward to be like 10 forward. So excellent job all around it wasn't like you were walking onto the Enterprise, but really every place you looked around, there was some sort of theming going on the ship. So very well done.
Hey, speaking of theming, I know that we're skipping ahead to next year, but they're changing ships, and it's actually going to be a Voyager class ship.
Ooh.
Okay. We'll get to next year.
It's going to take us 70 years to get there.
Yes, exactly. No, getting back is going to take you. You're going to get there.
If we're lucky, we won't come back. We'll get to stay on the ship, because I will tell you right now, I wish I was still there.
It's just a 3-hour tour.
Now, you're wondering so that's the theming. Well, what happened? Well, during the day, and into the evening, there were panels, there were viewing of Star Trek episodes from all the iterations of Trek. There was plays, musical performances, guest-led shore excursions, autograph sessions, photo sessions, karaoke, trivia, and other contests, costumes, costume contests, gambling, parties, a rave or two. Now, we didn't do every single thing on the cruise.
But we sure tried.
We indeed did try. And
it was a value
trip. We're of different expertise levels here. It's my first time ever on a cruise, although I have experience with Trek conventions back in the 70s in New York, which this kind of reminded me of when we were on the ship. We have people that have done cruises, Chuck and Craig, but not a Star Trek cruise. And we have CJ, who's done the Star Trek cruise before. So we kind of covered all those bases there with the the people. So let's get into this.
Before you go, another thing that was themed was the onboard television. They had a couple of channels that would normally be for, you know, here's the activities that are coming up today. They changed one of them to Star Trek movies, and they had one of them, it was Star Trek episodes. At any point, 24 hours a day, you could flip on the TV and you go, oh, it's Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home. Go up one channel and it's, oh, it's the episode of Voyager where, you know, they first get together with the Maquis. And it was just fun to randomly tune in and go, what do we got now? Oh, it's Nemesis.
What I thought was funny.
It was essentially just like the TV in my house.
There you go.
Hey, I thought it was funny when one of the channels, they had a webcam out shooting out toward the bow of the boat.
Yes,
you could see the thing. And it was funny. They'd be playing different Star Trek music on that channel. And I turned it on one time. I'm looking out the front of the boat and I hear dun 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 dun. I'm like, no, dark. That's not the music I want.
That's not the music I want. All of a sudden, the boat is up to ramming speed. It's just, no, this is not good.
Well, I'll tell you, when you're in an interior room like me and you don't know what time it is, it's just dark all the time. That channel is my favorite. I just put it on, like, is it daytime yet? Nope, still dark. Go back.
That's right.
But there's a Klingon bird of prey off the bow and a whale about to surface.
Shoot the harpoon at it.
It bounces off. Bing. All right. So let's talk about some of the parties. We kicked off with our launch party with a raised United Federation of Planets flag, which looked like the size of a postage stamp.
You know, raising the flag was, it came out on this little trolley across the 12th deck, about 30 feet above our heads.
Yet everybody cheered when it showed up. It was kind of funny.
And then they took up binoculars and said, oh, yeah, there it is.
Yeah.
And then we got a quick word from all the main guests. It's like the only time you're going to see all the main guests.
It was like rapid fire stage.
And it was fun because, you know, Robert Picardo would come out and say, you know, I lost my hat. If anybody's seen my black fedora, and I'm wearing a hat just like he described, going, oh, nobody take it. And then Rene Auberjonois comes out later, I got Bob's hat.
There you go.
I love the way they play with each other.
Yeah, it was good.
So it was a fun start off to stuff. And then, you know, everybody went to their cabin and tried to say, all my packing has to get undone and put away. We had a holodeck to groovy deck 60s event up on the pool deck. And for a lot of these events, Band 47, which is a cover band, and they would dress up in various Trek costumes and they would play music from the 60s for this, for, you know, for the 70s, some other night. They very versatile. They had a rather large repertoire of stuff that they were doing.
They were outstanding. I really love them.
They did have a couple of sets. They played one on deck and then went to 13-4 and played the exact same set in the exact same order. So if you were at both venues, like, this sounds vaguely familiar and I know what's coming next.
Yeah. They did do a good job, though.
Some of the songs, they were great.
When they sang, like, Journey, the guy was kind of nailing it. And I'm trying to think, you know, whenever they sang somebody, you know, they did a good job.
You could sound alike. For this one, my wife Bonnie was dressed as a hippie and she was passing out little stickers.
That was natural for her.
She would have dresses, nothing. That was her native environment.
That was a second drawer down. That was just how it happens.
The secret
after
is out.
After a few glasses of wine, I was sending her to people. Give that person a sticker. Everybody gets a sticker.
It was like me at the Risa party. Everybody's going, great costume. Like, this is what I wear to church. What are you talking about? I got a Hawaiian shirt on, shorts, and a hat. This is Phoenix.
Hey, well, I bought that Star Trek tie-dye for the groovy deck thing. And I thought, oh, man, you know, I'll have something a little unique.
It was a tie-dyed shirt with a Delta shield right on your chest. Biggest day.
Right.
Your wife, explain what your wife is wearing.
Oh, she was wearing a tie-dye shirt from a restaurant here in town.
It was like Spiral. Just nothing descript about nothing branded Star Trek. Yeah. And what happened?
Well, we walked through the casino and there was like two people sitting there with the same tie-dye shirt that I had.
and a number of people were going to your wife, Kim, saying, nice shirt.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. They were complimenting her on her tie-dye. I'm like, what?
I got this right here. What? Yeah.
All right.
So speaking about,
I was wearing the same bathing suit as at least 200 other women on that photo. Because we all had the same Star Trek bathing suit. Just different colors.
The same one?
Mine was red, there was some yellow, and there was some blue, but it's pretty much.
Said one size fits all.
Doesn't sound very sanitary, actually.
Well, not the semantics, I tell you. Well, speaking of shirts and such, the next event was a Star Trek The Cruise 3 t-shirt party.
The next day.
Because why not? Because they gave everyone a t-shirt for the cruise.
Because every night you would get something new in your cabin.
Right.
We got a gift.
We I got call that a party that I don't know how to find my friends. Everybody's wearing the same thing.
Exactly.
Last time I saw Greg, exactly. Was
maybe poolside. I'll be wearing a blue shirt. See ya.
Yeah.
Norman, coordinate.
You're and all of course, lucky I have purple hair. I'm just easy to find.
I had a hat.
Yes. Yes, you were. Actually, I would walk into a place and look for your purple hair.
Yeah.
And so every night we would get a different thing. We got a lanyard. We got a poster of the cruise. We got a Star Trek The Cruise. I think, was it Star Trek The Cruise 3 hat or just Star Trek?
Just a cruise. Just a
okay.
cruise.
Okay. Yeah.
A backpack, yeah. An actual backpack, passport cover. And my wife, Bondi, noticed that it is actual leather, not fake leather.
It's really nice. Yeah, it's nice.
And an info packet, of course, about the 2020 cruise, because constantly throughout this cruise, they made sure that you knew that there was a cruise next year.
There is?
Yeah.
And the passport cover does not interfere with the check-in kiosks at the airport. Verified that as well.
And I will tell you, I put my passport in the cover because the front of it has United Federation of Planets. Yeah. On the front of it. So it's a blue passport cover with silver logo on it. And when I'm going through customs coming back, the guy looks at it, kind of gives like a opens it up.
Love
says,
that.
Another one of those guys.
Well, and I'm thinking
it was funny when we got to
the point. How many of them you must have seen? I'm like right. One of the last people to get off the ship.
And when we got to the Miami airport, I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but it was fun to watch. You could spot the people with the backpack or the hat or something go, I know where you've been.
Yeah, we talked to a bunch of people from the cruise, actually.
I flew on both my flight out to Miami and my flight back. I was seated in assigned seats on American next to people who were on the cruise.
That's awesome.
I was kind of sure someone getting on my plane had been on the cruise, and I stayed a day longer in Miami. But when this person got on the plane and they put their bag in the overhead compartment, the custom Star Trek tag with the Discovery on it was like flopping down. Well, clearly that person was on the cruise.
That is the same feeling. You now know what it's like when I go or Craig goes to our annual conference and you see somebody wearing carrying a ServiceNow backpack or something. It's, I know where you're headed. I know where you've been. It's that a community feeling, that camaraderie, that we've had a shared experience. And it is such a wonderful feeling.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I try to hide from those people. But anyway.
I thought you could say hide your feelings. Huh?
Yeah, exactly. there was also a costume contest, and it was hosted by John Delancey. So people have wondered, do you have a chance to wear costumes? And we're talking about the costume contest, and there were several entries in the costume contest. But throughout the cruise, you would see people any time of the day or night wearing Star Trek outfits. You didn't have to be a certain time of day. And the nice thing about the cruise, now I don't know about next year's cruise because it's on a different cruise line, but on Norwegian, it was kind of a suspension of their normal rules. So
for the dining area,
right. If you wanted to have your Star Trek T-shirt on, that was acceptable in the dining room, whereas normally you'd have to be wearing a long sleeve shirt and so forth. So, anytime you wanted to put on a costume, you're more than welcome to.
Yeah, my wife.
Go ahead.
They just ask that you not wear like bathing suits or that type of
well,
thing.
Well, yeah, I don't think you want, because then somebody's going to sit in that chair after you and get wet from the pool.
Well, by the way, to get some clarification, my wife had called and the guy literally told her on the phone, look, if somebody's going to put on that makeup and stuff and dress up as a Romulan, they don't want to have to go to the room, take it off, go to dinner and then go put it back on.
That's
ours.
Right.
He said, that's ours.
You guys didn't like the idea that I said we should just go naked and say we're here for the Beta Z wedding reception.
Yeah.
No, that's no.
I will say that the costume party was a riot. And we saw, what was it? 2 out of 3 of the finalists right before they were up there. The lady who played Martia from Undiscovered Country.
Right. It was very,
I saw her on the plane later. It was so funny. It's like, she looks just like that almost without the cigar.
Well, the best part was she had the attitude.
Yes.
I mean, that was what sold it for her outfit. You know, if you're familiar with it, we're talking about the character who was in Star Trek VI, who was the shapeshifter.
The camera. So yeah.
Right. So she was in the costume with all the furs and having a cigar. She had the... Did she have the contacts in? She had the contacts in, right?
I'll check. I have a picture with her, but I didn't notice them offhand.
But complete attitude, because we ran into her, you know, just outside of the costume contest. Yeah. She was doing the whole bit, and just we were having a play back and forth with her.
I think my favorite, I mean, the guy who won was good. He was a Mugatu with carrying a glass box with...
they said it was...
Captain Pike in his wheelchair inside it. It was very complex. But I think my favorite was still the Pennywise...
No,
the creepy.
That was
Pennywise and Dorian.
Over the top. And then when he started dancing the Cotton Eye Joe, it just blew my mind.
He's going to be back next year just the same. I've joined all of the Star Trek the Cruise Facebook groups, and so I've gotten to know all these people and talk to them. And he's one of them, and he is actually going to be bringing back that same character to next year's cruise.
Outstanding! Creepy. I need to join those groups.
It's indeed. Creepy. It's super creepy. I'm glad I never saw it, but I've only seen pictures. It's kind of funny.
Hey, CJ, invite us into those groups, if you will.
All right. Yeah, I'll share.
I like, well, there goes that. Anyway.
Hey, let's talk about some panels.
We'll get added and she'll drop it. She'll leave.
That's right.
Let's go to the panels.
Your problem now. All right. And we talked about the fact there were panels. We got to have 3 panels that were specifically with the guests of particular shows. There was one about Discovery. There was one with the cast of Next Generation. And there was one with the cast of Deep Space Nine. Now, we'll talk first about the Discovery one. And that was Mary Chifo, Jason Isaacs, Kenneth Mitchell, and Rekha Sharma. That was kind of what you expect a panel to be. That was kind of your first, a lot of people's first introduction to having these people as guests, even though a lot of them have appeared at various conventions. Mary Chifo was at Dragon Con last year. So a lot of the questions being asked were the typical, you want to learn something about these actors and the characters and their thought process. There was a lot of humor in it, especially when Kenneth Mitchell did his dead-on impression of Lorca. Which was him talking like this?
Yeah. My name's Lorca. I have blue eyes.
Yeah, it was funny.
I know that panel. I developed quite the girl crush on Mary Chifo. She's amazing.
Oh, she's awesome. She's absolutely awesome.
Actually, all of them were very endearing, and I didn't know because I hadn't seen any of them in person yet, and so I found all of them very endearing. But something about Mary was just like.
Something about Mary.
Afterwards, and I just thanked her for existing, and she was just she's just so gracious and sweet. I really liked the cast. I really liked all those people.
She felt like one of those people you could hang out with, and she wouldn't, you know, give two thoughts about it. She's like, hey, you know, let's hang out with some friends.
And we kind of did once or twice in a
very
way.
Personable. Yes.
A lot of the guests were very, very available. Some were aloof, as you would expect, but most of them were very accessible. And just walking down the hall, and there's Robert Picardo walking out of the gym with me and go, didn't see you there. Thank you for your help with, you know, some of the independent films and I mentioned one that Ben and Keith from TG Geeks did with Russ Emanuel, and I went, very good. And he goes, oh yeah, Russ, good guy. I love working with him. It was very easy to just, you know, walk up to people and go, hey, how you doing? Thanks for the work. And they appreciated the fans. We were not accosting them. And can I get a selfie? You know, it was very, very open and easygoing environment. And I hope they all come back.
Hey, by the way, I'm sorry to interrupt.
Go ahead.
Um, Mary Chifo, you know how tall and big, you know, she's a very tall woman. And then she wears a Klingon. Yeah, she's perfect for the Klingon. Anyway, so she literally ran into my wife. My wife was walking and Mary was in front of her, and Mary did a quick turnaround like she forgot something or something and ran right into my whole life. And not only that, but speaking of everybody being kind of amicable and hanging out, my wife said she was sitting down to eat like a snack or something, and she made a snarky remark. I think it was about somebody that walked by, and she could tell you better, but somebody walking by, and then she heard somebody cackling about what she said, and it was Will Wheaton. He was sitting at the table with his wife, and he turned around and started laughing. So he introduced Kim to his wife, and they talked for a brief moment or two, but he just thought her snarky remark was funny.
And what was nice about that, and this addresses another question, so I think we're going to get the listener questions like answer right here. Kim, your wife, is not really a big Star Trek fan. Mm-hmm. So there were times when she wasn't participating in the activities and would just do other things on the ship. So I think that's one of the reasons probably Will felt a bit more at home. It's like she knew who he was, but, wasn't really enamored with him being, you know, Wesley Crusher.
Right. Yeah. And there's a little bit of that. So, Kim said that she got the idea that Will's wife, and I'm sorry, her name escapes me for a moment.
There's always that one nerd who knows all the trivia in the audience.
I know.
And we're all that person. So there you go.
Kim got the impression that Anne wasn't super jazzed about, everybody, hey, Will, hey, Will, just being at the convention. But anyway, speaking for spouses that don't have or that are not Trekkies, there was plenty for my wife to do. We did the excursions on the island and stuff. And then when she didn't want to go to some of these panels, which most of the Star Trek stuff is during the day, in the evening, the after dinner show wasn't necessarily always something to do with Star Trek. They did Jeopardy and all that kind of stuff and, singing and things. So there was plenty to do for somebody that wasn't super into Star Trek. You can go to the pool and hang out. We had a balcony room so she could hang out there and read or just chill out. There was things to do without her having to, participate in Star Trek all the time.
Okay. Very good. We also had the Next Generation panel, which I did not attend. And I guess Chuck, you didn't either, but, CJ and Craig,
I took your wife.
Yeah. I was going to say, cause Bonnie was there and you were there. What's up? Anyway, but Bonnie's report was that she was laughing hysterically throughout this entire panel.
I concur.
It was great. It was like having a bunch of my old friends right there on stage, just joking around, jokey jokesters. And I love them all so much. Yeah. Especially Michael Dorn.
Yeah. Him and his prune juice stories.
Oh my gosh. He hates prune juice.
Yeah.
Wow. Does he hate prune juice?
Maybe that's why it was given to him to drink. But anyway,
that's right.
Then the odd panel, as far as I was concerned, was the Deep Space Nine panel.
I know where you're going with this.
Because, again, these people have done more panels than you. We're talking about the Discovery people. So the questions got a little far afield that the audience was asking, like, what food could you not live without? And Renee,
boxers or briefs?
Yeah. Well, I think Renee actually said, I hope the questions get much more interesting than this. And the audience is going, yeah, we hope so too.
Oh, I had some questions. Well, we've done interviews and stuff, and I try to ask questions that are somewhat related to what they're doing, but, a little bit off than people haven't asked before. But they were, you said they were asking, do you like macaroni and cheese? When you're on the ship, what's your favorite side? I don't know. I'm just saying, some ridiculous questions.
I think part of that is because, and they made this abundantly clear, is that, DS9 and TNG were being filmed about the same time. There was overlap. And the atmosphere on the TNG set was very lighthearted. Lots of jokesters, lots of having fun. And the DS9 crew had said that, you know, our topic was not as light, and our cast was very focused on their characters and didn't have, it didn't have that atmosphere. It was a relatively darker show, darker theme, darker atmosphere. So when they got done, they didn't feel like doing a bunch of lighthearted jokes. So the audience, I don't think, really appreciated that. So they took the questions in a whole other direction, and it basically kind of torched the panel. Is what it did.
Didn't work. But you know, they can't all fire on all cylinders. So of the three panels, that's the one But the other ones sound like they were great. I'm going to call Black Alert here.
All right.
Black Alert. Because we're going to move off of those panels and quickly touch on the fact
One more comment. We had Will Wheaton, and we had I basically lived in 13 Forward all Wednesday.
It was panel to panel.
And it was a riot. And there was one panel where it was supposed to be Rene Auberjonois and Ethan Phillips, but obviously Ethan had to leave early for medical reasons. And Rene was up there by himself, and he wanted to send a video to Ethan, whose real name is Johnny, and he said, "I want to send a video to Johnny," but he was holding the microphone with one hand, and he needed two hands to do his phone. I was front and center and stood up on stage and said, "I'd be happy to help you hold that microphone, sir, while you do your video." So I was on stage with Renee, and CJ got a picture of that. So we're going to have that.
You could look at the video. I took a whole video. I took pictures. I got my phone out in time, Chuck.
So fast that he hadn't even handed the microphone to me yet. The picture looks like he's interviewing me.
And I never do that. Like, I'm always like halfway through the interview, and I finally got my phone working. So I'm proud of me for getting that of you.
I was proud of you, too, because I glanced over halfway through and remembered, dang, hope someone gets some pictures. There's CJ with her phone up. And I give her a wink and move on. In fact, you can see on the video, I wink at her.
All right. So, but I want to mention quickly as well, what were you wearing when you did that?
My Topic is Track t-shirt.
There you go.
That's part of the reason why I was in 13 Forward while people were coming in. I was facing the people coming in. I was in the front row with my back to the stage until the guests showed up. I was a human billboard for this show. And when I was on stage, it was very obvious what I was doing there.
And by the way, we didn't
my marketing job.
We didn't pay for that endorsement.
We did not.
No. Well,
we did not.
Yeah.
We can't afford it.
All right. So let's touch briefly on a different type of panel. There were some science panels.
Oh, I love these.
On the cruise as well. Chuck and I went to the science briefing that Dr. Phil Plate did on New Horizons, and its encounter with 2014 MU69.
You got it right. Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. There you go.
Also known as, by
another name, but apparently he doesn't want it used, so we won't use that name here. So that was unexpected. I mean, you've got a Trek cruise. It's like going to a regular convention where you have the other panels, but you just don't think you're going to have a panel like that on this, but it was very informative. Gave an hour long talk
and entertaining
photos.
He had his bad puns lined up. He's very proud of his bad puns.
Absolutely. With some Star Trek kind of twists and so forth in there as well. He did a second briefing as well. I did not go to that one, but Chuck, you did. Did he talk about the same thing, different things that you recall on the second one?
What was on the second one? On Wednesday, he was talking about, I thought the New Horizons one was Wednesday.
No, that was the first one, but it's okay. We'll move on.
So it was very good. I remember that.
Okay.
And, how we discover extraterrestrial planets.
Ah, okay.
And as soon as I raised my hand in the Q&A, he says, "Why am I not surprised you're raising your hand?" So we have this rapport going now. And
Nerd alert.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, Chuck is a pain. Phil acknowledges it. But anyway, let's.
It's that guy in the shirt again.
We also had a science briefing on the discovery of gravitational waves, and that was done by Dr. Aaron McDonald. And CJ, you and I were at that panel.
I wanted so hard to understand everything she was saying.
Oh, no.
I really wanted to learn. Like, I really did. But she talked. I love this woman, and I want to sit down and have her talk to me in a slower voice. But she had a lot of information to get out. And, like, her exuberance and her excitement about gravitational waves and what they do and what they are and how they work, like, I could sit and listen to her talk about that for hours. And the fact that other people in the room were clearly not interested in science, or they were, you know, sleeping or whatever they were doing, I wanted to punch them in the face because it was so fascinating to me, this entire presentation that she gave. I could watch that woman talk for hours.
Yeah, I didn't understand all of it myself, but I was following along fairly well. And my wife Bonnie was there because she specifically wanted to know about this subject, having just heard a year or two ago that we had detected the gravitational wave. So It was informative for her as well. So again, something not expected on a cruise like this, but it was a pleasure to have those panels.
It was awesome.
All right, we're going to move on to the main shows, which mostly took place in the ship's big theater, the Stardust Theater. And for most of these shows, there were two showings, not everything we're going to talk about, but there were two showings because you would have people that would eat early and go to the late show, and people that would go to the early show and eat later.
Red card versus blue card.
That's right. So the first one was the welcome party, and that was introed by Jonathan Frakes and Michael Dorn and some malfunctioning Borgs. They just, I don't know. People dressed as Borgs were part of the routine, but it's clear when they came up on stage that their audio was not working. So Michael Dorn had to pretend to be the Borg. For some reason, I don't understand, maybe because they were just standing backstage, they called out the Discovery people out onto stage. They all said like three words. They walked off stage, and then Will Wheaton came out and he introed a performance by Thomas Dolby. Now I know what you're thinking. Why was Thomas Dolby, the She Blinded Me with Science performer, on the Trek cruise? Well, Thomas wondered the same thing himself, pretty much
a number of times,
but, and he tried to, you know, he kind of made this really tentative connection to it. Actually, I made a different connection myself that I didn't have a chance to tell him about because I thought that's way too nerdy. The company that he created in the 90s, one of their main things they developed was the software that produces the ringtones. And he specifically mentioned Nokia, which was, I guess, the first people to use the software.
Right.
Well, what ringtone do you hear in Star Trek 2009? But anyway, we didn't know what to expect because we're thinking the same thing, Thomas Dolby. It was a fascinating show.
I loved
Thomas,
it. He did a
Thomas
great job.
Performed, and instead of just, he didn't have a band with him. His band was off in, I think, Australia. Performing with another main act. And so it was Thomas, a screen, and his keyboards and computers. And up on the screen, he was showing the software he was using to play the song. So he would play a song, and you could see this is where different beats come in. Sometimes the software would know to show a video and part of it. Then he would talk between the songs and tell us little stories. I didn't know what to expect going into it, but I was just, you know, at the end of that, I was just, that was amazing. So went to everything else that, with one exception, went to everything else that Thomas Dolby was doing that entire cruise.
We did get a picture of the Topicus Trek crew with Thomas Dolby.
Yep.
I got to hang out with him in an elevator, and he pushed my floor for me.
He pushed my button.
He's so sweet. He's very nice, and he was friendly. He seems very shy.
Perfect English gentleman. Yeah.
Introverted, but yeah, I got to ride in an elevator with him and talk to him for the write up, and I enjoyed that as well. But I didn't know what to expect either, but I enjoyed all of his shows and his discussion that he had with Phil Plait and all of that. Yes. It was all really interesting.
The next show that we saw was John Delancey's Evolution, The Ongoing Debate. And CJ, if I am correct, this is not the first year that John has put on this show.
He did something similar. He does like a reading. I didn't realize he was going to have all these people that you that were there, and we missed that one. And I don't remember why I didn't go, but I think it was just, okay, I didn't want to see him do another reading.
Okay. This one, so they were using from the Scopes monkey trial, the evolution trial, back in the 30s, they were using transcripts plus kind of a narrator to thread through context for the transcripts that they were reading. So you had Ethan Phillips and Casey Biggs, Denise Crosby, Robert Picardo, Nana Visitor, Rene Auberjonois, Marnie Mossaman, who is John Delancey's wife, a piece of trivia that I found out when I was trying to research this, and some audience members were also part of the show doing some of the pieces. They also previewed a follow-up piece that John will be doing next year on the cruise, which is the more current redoing of the evolution trial, which involves intelligent design, which was a case that took place in Pennsylvania a couple of years ago. So it
went from the Scopes monkey trial to the, what is it, the Dover penguin debate?
Panda.
Panda. That's
panda.
What it was.
Panda.
So oh, it was. Gets better.
It was another entertaining show. We went on from that to, this was not a nighttime show. This was a one time only. Jonathan Frakes said that because no one from the original series was on the cruise this year, he thought it'd be a great idea to do a TOS related thing. So there was a script reading of Amok Time.
Mm-hmm.
And we had Jonathan Frakes, who was doing several parts. He was being the narrator, reading the stage direction, because they were pretty much working from the script, although I could tell they were editing certain things out of the script for time. But he was also reading Ethan Phillips' part, who at that point was not feeling well. Hadn't left the boat yet, but he was not feeling well. Gase McFadden was playing the part of Kirk.
She did great. I loved her.
Will Wheaton was Spock. Jason Isaacs was McCoy. Ranka Sharma was T'Pring, and also Nurse Chapel. John Delancey was playing Sulu. And Marnie was playing Chekhov, and Denise Crosby was playing T'Pau in it. And, you know, they were working from the script, and then things went off the rails every once in a while. And it was just interesting takes, like when Spock asked for the plummet soup, you know, of course, Rekka's going, yes, I'll be happy to get that for you. And she pretends she leaves the room and goes, yes, 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 yes.
Afterwards, at another panel, Will Wheaton admitted that he always wanted to play Spock. So when Jonathan Frakes called him up, he was over the moon a couple of weeks before the cruise when he said, would you do this reading of Spock? And he said, I have always wanted to be Spock since I was a kid. This was like a dream come true for him.
Well, they played it up. And I like the scene where they're actually fighting. And it's Gates and Will. And I was like, I got a couple of good pictures where, you know, they're going at it. They're actually doing like thumb wars in there.
Rock, paper, scissors.
Robert Picardo.
Oh, the rock, paper, the scissors was so
Robert funny. Picardo has to give Kirk the shot of Triox compound. And he says, now bend over. And there's Gates McFadden sticking her fanny at Picardo.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No. That was Jason Isaacs.
That's what it was. Jason Isaacs.
Well, so when I caught the Amok Time, I was not in the Stardust Theater. They were actually, they were filming it. They had it on camera. And so I was in the Ultra Bliss Lounge watching it in there. And so what you guys may not have had in the Stardust Theater that we had was that incredible Ponfar music. We're all the crowd. We're sitting there. We're making the sounds. We're doing the sound effects and the music. We're singing along with it.
We did it when they started up. We started like,
it was a crowd source.
I didn't know if they did it in there, but we did it out in the Bliss Lounge. And so we had a huge crowd in there and just drinking and watching it too.
You have to at that point. In fact, I told Craig and Clinton, who are on my right and left, and I said, you know what music we have to sing when it gets to that
right?
point.
Yeah.
I got them started in my area. So I'm glad that we thought alike, even though we were in different places.
Yes. Okay. Great minds think alike and simple minds have obvious thoughts. Let's move on.
That's right. So we also had a performance by Robert Picardo and his longtime associate, Jordan Bennett, who did a a product, well, not a production, just their act called Something Could Go Wrong, which was a narrative strung together between various songs that they did. So if you didn't realize, and you probably did already, that Robert Picardo can sing, it was proof of that for the show. It was like an hour and a half show that they put on with a band.
I liked it. It was kind of a Jersey Boys thing. It was very fun. It was a Broadway kind of thing, and you know, it some may have felt it was a little out of place, but I thought those are the kind of shows that you typically get on a cruise, is these Broadway musical kind of things. I loved it.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was just agreeing with you. Go ahead.
Okay. The next one was the game show on the main stage, which was Jason Isaacs, Will Wheaton, and Jonathan Frakes doing Jeopardy.
My favorite.
Oh, so good.
Hands
so
down.
So good.
By far. I think
it was hilarious. Now, Jonathan Frakes, once again, was stepping in for Ethan Phillips. And we thought he was kidding because he was not buzzing in on any of the questions. And he just had this look of frustration on his face. And we're laughing at it. Yeah. Suddenly, I noticed that there's a person behind Jonathan Frakes mucking around with the wires. Apparently, his buzzer wasn't working.
It was unplugged. And Jason played it up really well. He goes, I thought he'd figure it out sooner than this. Right. It was so well done. I have been inspired to change the Jeopardy program that we're going to do at our trade show in May in Vegas. And I am going to adapt it and use bits of this that I thought were just brilliant, because it was so entertaining and so funny. And yet you still had the Jeopardy element of, you know, guessing and knowing the answers. Like, I know that. And, and some of the obscure things that went by, this was my favorite show of the entire lot of them.
And all three of them were just dead on hilarious. Will and Jason and Jonathan were just like, you know, sniping at each other making all sorts of comments. It was a great chemistry
going on up there.
The one question that I did have some participation in was the question of this country is the leading producer of bananas, and they were guessing Mexico and Guatemala and Honduras, and the timer was counting down and it was dead silence, and I yelled out Norway, and Will Wheaton goes, Norway. I caught him off guard.
They were starting to get on people for shouting out real answers, and when you said Norway,
I think no one thought that was the real answer, so that was okay.
It's my job.
We also had a performance by Brent Spiner of his kind of Broadway review show labeled In Search of Lost Time. So again, songs with kind of a story to each song, or kind of weaving things together for that. And then one we didn't see, which was Singing on Water, Dancing to Shore, which was Gates McFadden's show. And I don't think any of us saw that one.
No.
So we're going to move on from there to other shows and events. One of them was Late Night Adult Comedy with Ethan Phillips. And CJ, you were at that one.
This was hysterical. I'm sorry I missed this one.
You should all be very sorry that you missed it, because it was hysterical.
Sorry.
It was basically, this is how I describe it, rapid fire, really, really dirty, inappropriate dad jokes. One after the other, after the other.
And you have to describe how he was releasing these.
He came out with a fanny pack. He said he had a fanny pack on. I'm like, I wonder what's in the fanny pack. Why does he have a fanny pack? And then he starts pulling slips of paper out of his pockets, not out of the fanny pack, but out of his pockets. And he's like, oh, let's tell this joke. And he's just like, looks at it and throws the paper on the floor. He tells a joke. He tells another joke. He tells another joke. He pulls out another slip of paper. And so there's like these little slips of paper all over the floor. And then he'll pull one out and go, I'm not going to tell that one. And he'll throw it on the floor. And then later he'll go back and pick it up. And then meanwhile, the audience is yelling things at him like, tell the seal joke. And he's like, oh, no, that's way too filthy. I can't tell that joke. And then, of course, the crowd goes wild. Like, you have to tell it. And he's like, I'll offend all of you. And we don't care. And then eventually he got to the fanny pack, which there were more slips of paper inside the fanny pack. He just had all these little slips of paper with jokes all over him. It's interesting that he left the ship right after that, because in retrospect, I could go back and look at him and tell he was not doing well.
Oh.
You could tell, I mean, he was, he did a great job. He put on a great show. And I almost think that the way he was feeling almost played into it in a way, because it made him kind of, he was kind of shuffling around a bit. Mm. But it was very vaudevillian in a way, the way he told the jokes and very, you know, just the way he did it was, it was insane. But it was just, none of the jokes like played into each other. You know how a comedian usually tells like a story and it goes into a joke and it goes into the next joke. This was not, this was one-offs. This was just one dirty dad joke right after the
That's
other.
A testament boom, 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 to what a professional he is, that, yeah, that, you know, the show must go on and he's going to get through it. I did find out later that Rene Aubergenois put him up to that fanny pack idea, but I'm curious to know, where the heck did he get a fanny pack?
Oh, you can still buy those. And for our, and for our listeners in England, we apologize. Anyway.
Wow. I was going to say that was the last night's gift, but they didn't give them out.
Yes. All right. I'm going to call Black Alert again.
Oh, boy.
Black Alert.
What's all this water everywhere?
Yeah, I was going to say it's all floating. Before we move on to our next topic, I'm going to quickly go through these. If anybody has anything specific they want to shout out about them as we quickly go through the rest
the
of these
activities.
The Art
of Lying. I want to do that at some point. We could all play that at our Star Trek panel at Dragon Con.
Okay, so we've got, well, we did. Last year,
we did play a version of that. We're doing it
so
again.
So we
folks.
Have we had a performance by John Delancey and Denise Crosby of something of a, I believe it's a play that one of Denise's students wrote called The Second Coming. We had the game show Our Celebrity Heads, and that was with Casey Biggs, Denise Crosby, and Kenneth Mitchell. It was late night, the last night of the cruise. It's one of those things where everyone has a topic, either a person, a place, or a thing, and they have to ask the audience yes or no questions about it, and it got extremely silly and ribald. We had a triple toss tournament, which was really cornhole, just themed with tribbles. Mm-hmm. There was the Borg Assimilation pub crawl. CJ was on that, and if you remember it, it wasn't a good pub crawl. We had the game show hour, The Art of Lying, which is, again, you have people and one person is telling the truth. The other two people are telling a lie and you have to figure out.
It was a word. And TJ, the cruise director, would say, right, you know, here's your word. Now you define it. And the three of them would define it. And some they were doing a good act of feeling like, you know, that sounds good. And, you know, they were doing such a good job. And then the audience would applaud and say who they voted for. And at one point, the inconceivable happened because he said, vote for who
is
Aaron McDonald. Yeah. Is Aaron McDonald telling the truth? And you get this applaud. Is Dr. Phil Plait telling the truth? Nobody in the whole place applauded. And after about a second and a half, the audience realized what was going on. And it was insanity after that point. Everybody was laughing so hard. Like, he got no votes. None.
We also found out that apparently with a British accent, you must always be telling the truth, because there was no point at which Thomas Dolby did not get thunderous applause that he must be telling the truth.
Yes. And did he ever tell the truth? I think he got.
I don't believe he did.
I don't think he ever told the truth, but he got voted a lot. And of course, the entire room knows that I can now do a cricket sound effect.
Yes. As yes.
That was fun.
We also
Everybody knows that, Chuck. Everybody knows that now.
We also had Gorn's Gong Show, which was essentially like the Gong Show. Various acts came up, and and they were either gonged by the Gorn, who had an actual gong up on stage, or they got raided by Rekha Sharma, Connor Trinneer, and Jason Isaacs. Apparently, several of those people had done the same act the year before. Connor was aware of this and was somewhat calling them out for that.
Good for him.
We had the Search for Spock Cryptic Clue Hunt, which was a scavenger hunt that Craig and I did. And we still don't know all the answers.
Yeah, I know, which sucks. I think we got most of them, but there was like, what, was there 12 or 13?
Yeah, it was a lot.
So that explains the little Funko Pop Vulcan Spock that was in 13 Forward.
Yeah, there was lots of them all scattered around every place. There was the behind the makeup panel with Michael Westmore, where Renee and Casey and Michael were there. And now we move on quickly to trivia. Lots of trivia on the ship, some of which we didn't go to. There was a To the Stars trivia. There was Barside trivia. There was Honor Bound trivia. And two that CJ did, there was Ladies Love Trivia and Deep Space Trivia. Was there any difference between the two, CJ?
Yes.
Okay.
Ladies Love Trivia, my team won.
I see. That's the difference.
There's that difference. No, wait. That one was most of the trivia questions were centered around the women of Star Trek. And then the Deep Space Trivia was around Deep Space Nine.
I'll say you probably won because I remember getting a couple of texts. Hey, what is this? What is that?
No. There's Chapel.
I'm just kidding.
Now, there were guests for both of those. Mary was in one and Nana was in the other one. Did they guess or did they read? What was their involvement?
They read the questions. They read the questions.
What was Mr. Hoffman doing? Was he just running around with the roaming microphone?
They were both sitting. So he basically sat with the celebrity and, you know, he sat with Mary Chifo and she sat with Nana and he read the majority of the questions. The girls, that were there, the ladies were just sort of, they read some of the questions and they read some of the answers. It was just sort of like a duo. He just worked with them.
Okay, cool. And karaoke. Again, you're the only person that attended the karaoke of the.
So what you're
of the
saying
four
is that I go to the late night parties. Yes.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
I went to I went to the karaoke's and I even put a song in, but by that time of evening, I knew there was dancing elsewhere. And so I was sort of all over the place, but I did put on my pajamas and go to the karaoke party to see Chase. And we went to the Connor Trenier one because I had not seen Connor Trenier at any event at all, except for briefly at the Gorn thing. I know I got to see him.
He was scarce.
You should have gone to dinner with us on the last night. He was sitting at the table behind us.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do? Right. But I had a very nice dinner with some other fine people. So, yes.
Well, you should invite me to these fine people next time.
Yes,
inside
we did.
Joke.
Actually,
we were
all invited. Every one of you was invited. All right, whatever. But, you know, so the karaoke parties were fun, but I was only there very briefly. And mostly I just met, because I kept meeting people and I was very social during that time. So. Okay. There was that. I don't have much else to say, but there were some people that sang really outstanding, and you'll see those videos once I invite you to those groups.
Okay. Also, sometimes occasional other people would show up. Mary Chifo showed up at one of them, Robert Picardo, and previously mentioned Jordan Bennett, the person that he does his act with, showed up, and I found videos of some of that online as well.
Oh.
Yes.
No, yes. I just didn't think to go look for video. I guess, where'd you find it at? YouTube or something?
Yeah, YouTube. Do various searches. I mean, there's not a lot because especially for the main performances, they ask people to not videotape those. Yes. So you're probably not going to find a lot of the things we're talking about, like the Jeopardy and those type of things on there. But other things you should be able to find. Quickly, we want to mention some other things you could have done on the cruise because there was so much going on in this cruise. Mm-hmm. You could play tennis with Jason Isaacs. You could play basketball with Kenneth Mitchell. You could decorate donuts with Rekha Sharma. You could bake or do a wine tasting with Nana Visitor and then watch her try to do a promo. And clearly that
was working well. She was baked all right.
You could be in a blackjack tournament with Connor Trenier or a poker tournament with Will Wheaton. We talked about the Trek episodes, and sometimes the Trek episodes that were being shown were introed by some of the guests. You could visit the Star Trek Discovery Mirror Universe Museum, which had a lot of props and costumes from the Mirror Universe episodes, as well as an art gallery with art for sale. You could browse several display cases full of props from Deep Space Nine, and you could participate in the cabin door decorating contest. It's a tradition on cruise ships that people decorate their doors with different things. And of course, on a Trek cruise, the doors are decorated with Star Trek things.
Except for Colonel Sanders' cabin.
Yeah, well,
there was one thing that you missed here. And, Kim and I sat, poolside and watched, watched some Star Trek on the Borg cube that I had at the pool.
Yeah. I had the Borg cube listed earlier, but I don't think we got into that. There was a four-sided, how tall would you say the thing was? About 5 or 6 feet tall?
At least, about six, I guess.
So the same, like a Jumbotron type of setup, you could definitely see the pixels in this thing, but it was the same thing would show on all four sides. a lot of times it was an image of a Borg cube, hence calling it the Borg cube. Other times people would play video games on it. It was showing animated episodes at nighttime. Every night at midnight, they were doing a full showing of a movie. So you'd have 2009, or you'd have The Voyage Home, or, you know, The Wrath of Khan shown on it. So that thing got a lot of use as well. They also, during the day, they played video of like the previous day's photos that the official photographer was taking of stuff. Let's see.
Who knew a Borg cube would be so useful?
I know, right? Maybe we shouldn't get rid of them all.
We assimilated them.
Of course, there were days we weren't on the ship. Even though we did all this stuff, there were 3 days we were off of the ship. One day was on Great Stirrup K, and that, again, is Norwegian's private island. Chuck, Craig, and myself rented a cabana and went swimming. We also got caught in the rainstorm that came in. But CJ, you did something more than just lounge around.
Yes, I did. I was lucky enough to get go swim with stingrays. I swam with stingrays and Chase Masterson. She was also there. And I'm always super pleased when she recognizes me.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've known Chase for several years. Actually, when I went, I went to go see her this time. She goes, we've known each other for how long now? And I'm like, 10 years. It's been 10 years, I think, that I met her at Comic-Con, Phoenix Comic-Con. And we did some stuff we talked a lot that time about, because I was doing the Mighty Mommy and she was working with getting gangs off streets in LA with her Homeboy Industries Foundation.
Suppose most people will recognize, you know, whomever they have a restraining order against.
Yeah, well,
yeah. So we did that, and the water was really cold, but I got to hold a stingray, and it was really one of my favorite things I've experienced in my life, and the stingray thing was amazing.
That's your current Facebook profile pic.
Yes.
No, my current Facebook profile pic is me in front of the transporter door.
You posted the stingray though.
Lying down dead. Because my pattern got stuck in the buffer and
I hate when that happens.
And I didn't make it out. Yeah. So just as a side note, the woman who I took a picture of myself in front of her door repeatedly because it was a transporter. And at one point she opened the door and caught us doing stuff in front of the door. She added me as a friend to Facebook today.
Aww. That's cool.
I know. I'm so excited. Yeah, that.
You know, that's the vibe of this whole cruise was, you know, we're all friends. Why not?
Yeah. Very much so.
It's easy to start conversations with anybody. Yeah.
Absolutely. So yeah, it was really fun. And we got caught in the storm too, which was actually really fun.
Hey, by the way, quick shout out to Donna, Chuck's wife. We all left because of the rain and she stayed to get our money's worth out of that cabana.
She took the last boat back to the cruise ship. I got one word for you. Get yourself a wetsuit.
Yeah, exactly.
I stayed drier because I was wearing a wetsuit.
Go figure. The name should be very confusing. The next stop we made was on Grand Cayman. And Chuck, you and I and our wives went shopping. Mm-hmm. And Craig took a bike tour.
We did. Actually, it was a 7-mile tour around Cayman. We went to the turtle rescue. And we also went to Hell and Back.
Yeah. Well, could you explain further?
So Hell is really like a gift shop, basically. But behind the gift shop spot is a dead reef. I guess it was left behind when the water receded years ago. And so it's like almost metal, because the guy said he was explaining it and he threw a rock out there and you hear ding, 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 ding. You know, it was bouncing off the metal. But yeah, this looks like a dead, you know, a reef with no water. And like I said, it's kind of neat to take a picture. I took several pictures of it. So that's pretty much what Hell is. And by the way, we sent a...
So in case you've ever wondered what Hell is, you've now had a description.
Hell on Earth.
Yeah, it's a gift shop. Gift shop with a dead reef.
Some gift shops are Hell.
Yeah, right. Hey, and welcome to Hell, and you can exit through the gift shop.
That's right. And while Chuck and I were shopping and saw bottles of rum, CJ, you took things a bit further.
Yeah, we went to the Cayman Spirits Company and we did a rum distillery tour, which was awesome. I love, they give you a shot glass. They give you 8 different types of rum, one after the other, to try. And then while you're waiting for your turn to go in the back to see where they do the distilling, they just basically say, well, just help yourself, drink all the rum you want until it's time to go in, which is probably why I did not drink the next day in Falmouth.
Yeah.
I'm just going to put that out there because we drank a lot of rum that day. It was amazing and delicious. And super fun. We got to see the inner workings, and they age the rum in these barrels, in these bourbon barrels. So the wood is seasoned with this bourbon, and then they put the rum in it, and then they put it down underwater. So it's the distilling process is faster because they spin in the water.
They put their own spin on that. I see.
Yeah. So that was really interesting to learn about. So.
And as if that wasn't enough, we took another day at shore in Falmouth, Jamaica, and my wife Bonnie and I went to do river tubing, and Michael Doran was I don't think this was listed as an excursion with the guest. I think he just happened to be going the same time we were, so we were on the same bus and in the same group going through the river tubing with Michael. And that was a lot of fun. The river water level was very low because it was not the rainy season yet, so we didn't have a strong current, but that was great because it gave us more time to just relax and look at the scenery. So that was fun to do. And when we got to shore, I did my rum tasting when I went to the bar after river tubing.
There you go.
And you guys went ashore. I'm putting that in air quotes, I believe, in Jamaica.
Yeah,
there wouldn't go very far.
It was just a kind of a marketplace kind of setting just on shore. And if you went past the gate, which was maybe a whole quarter mile radius from the boat, if you went past the gate, you were pretty much taking your life in your own hands. So we didn't go past the gate, but we did do a lot of window shopping and picked up, what was that thing? It looked kind of like an empanada or just a little
a little pastry, beef and cheese. Yeah. Pastry,
just getting some local taste and doing some window shopping. I don't think we came away with anything major on any of that stuff, but it was just a fun way to kill some time.
Yeah.
Stopped off in Margaritaville, had a couple of drinks, but
did all our shopping. We got all our souvenir shopping done there. I found loads of crap to buy.
It was loads of crap is what, and every shop was pretty much the same.
Yeah, apparently
there were loads of it. There were loads of it. So
my son loves his shirt, his Caribbean shirt. I got him a Caribbean, a Hawaiian shirt. Yeah, do we call it? He loved it. Yeah, and so I got like some really cool lighters and salt and pepper shakers. I did it all up. I hadn't bought anything for anyone, so I got everything right there in Jamaica.
I will say I did have an alternate reality experience on the cruise. I think it was the first night, maybe the second night we were there. I'm walking out deck 12, just get out by the pool deck, and I hear somebody. I passed by them, wasn't even thinking, just people walking by me in the opposite direction. And about 15 feet later, I hear this, "Service now!" And I went, who said that on the cruise? Somebody from one of our customers on the East Coast, I think it was from AT&T in Maryland, a gentleman by the name of Glenn Bradley. See, I remembered his name. Yep. And hope he's listening. Thank you very much. He recognized me from the videos I do at work. And I said, okay, let's get a selfie. Let's do this. And saw him a few more times. He was dressed up as Gary Seven, and his wife was dressed up as, cat's name.
Cat's name?
TOS episode with Gary Seven.
It's a name. I can't remember names.
Victoria, so Veronica, the black cat, the lady who.
Yes.
Anyway,
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, okay. They were cosplaying at the costume party, so that was a little out of context and caught me off guard. But like any other cruise, you see the same people over and over during this cruise, and it was a lot of fun. I will say that Monday night I was coming back from San Diego, and the Uber driver from the Phoenix airport up to my house. We started talking.
Well, I think you're going to get into a subject we'll get to at the end.
Okay.
There.
Okay.
So
black alert.
Right.
I'm calling black alert here. Transitioning into the segue.
Okay. So as I think we've mentioned a couple of times, one of the things that they did was they said, "Hey, by the way, you know, come back next year." It kind of felt like Amway sometimes, but anyway, so you could sign up for Star Trek The Cruise 4. And as we've also mentioned, it's not going to be the same cruise ship or even the same cruise line next year. It's going to be Royal Caribbean's Explorer of the Seas will be the ship. So it's a larger ship. How they'll decorate it, we don't know, because I don't think a lot of the decorations they have are directly transferable. Yeah. And obviously you have a new palette to work with. So, but you get an idea of the theming that they had on this ship. Therefore, they would do something similar, I'm sure, on the next cruise. Now, if you signed up for the cruise on the ship, you got to go to a Star Trek The Cruise 4 cocktail party. Fancy, fancy. You guys want to talk anything about that?
Band 47 played, what, two or three numbers?
Yeah.
Jason Isaacs and Mary Chifo came out and sang.
They did a song themselves.
A karaoke version to one of the numbers from Rocky
Damn
Horror Picture Show.
It was Damn It Janet for Rocky Horror, yeah.
They did a wonderful job. I felt like I was watching a bit of a high school musical at that point.
I was ready to throw bread and Rocky Horror.
Toast.
Yeah.
So it was just about 30 minutes, you know, a free drink. You sit down, do a little dancing, enjoy the number, and, you know, thank you for coming, and see you next year kind of thing. So it was a nice send-off.
Okay.
And so Woody from Dallas one more time dressed as Picard.
So that pretty much concludes the coverage of the cruise. Now, first I want to mention that you three have signed up for the cruise for next year. So I don't have to ask you, did you have a good time? Would you do it again?
I didn't. And I'm trying again.
I see. I'm going to go back until I get it right. I understand that.
If any of our listeners are interested,
please we'll get to that.
Go ahead.
So I have this under control. No, I don't. What am I saying?
This show is never in control.
Right.
So just so you're aware though, that, it is pricey, and I will probably not be doing it again next year because it is a sizable chunk of change. It really, the cruise is about 3+ times more than just the standard cruise without the Trek stuff on it would be. So if you're thinking about doing this, that you are putting down a sizable amount of money to do it. So in all disclosure, because we're not being Norwegian or you know, Royal Caribbean or the production company,
cruise productions, whatever it is.
Is not paying for this. And I'm saying up front that I'm probably not even going next year for it unless some amazing deal comes along late in the process or something. But if you are thinking about going, you can get a little bit of onboard credit. And I'm going to have Craig tell you about that.
Yeah. So I'm not sure if Chuck did this too, but I signed up as a landing party leader.
So what does that mean?
Well, it looks like, if I read the website right, is when you sign, if you listener, whoever, signs up and this is your first time on the cruise and you put my name down as a landing party leader, as your landing party leader, not only will I get a credit, but you'll also get a shipboard credit for your cabin. It's like $100. So, you know, I'll of course share it a little bit, you know, whatever I get, but, you'll get a credit, which goes a long way. $100. Yes. Drinks at a bar or whatever. Cause you charge
like
everything.
10 drinks. That's
right. Yeah.
And the drinks are specialty as well. There was a Ractagino, there was a Saurian brandy, there Tranya. Was a Tranya, yeah. A bunch of other ones. There was a Romulan ale. They had one of these Star Trek beers, the specialty beers you can buy in the store. This was the Deep Space Nine one. They had specialty drinks every night as well. That were, one of them was the James T. Kirk. And I still haven't compared to see if the James T. Kirk at Star Trek The Experience is the same mixture as the James T. Kirk that they had on the ship. But
yeah,
Anyway.
And by the way, I named our landing party. I told her, I don't know if you can name it, but I named it.
Yeah.
The topic is Trek. So.
But that's not the name they would use.
Probably right? not. That's what I was going to say. Your name. Yeah, just use my name and you know, we'll all get something.
Now, you mentioned the price earlier, Clinton, and you also mentioned that this had a vibe of an earlier New York con.
Right.
And this is, in my opinion, I've been on cruises and I've been to cons. This is a beautiful, wonderful fusion of those two. I can't think of a better way to take a cruise and go on a con at the same time.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, to me, it's really mostly a case of the expense on it.
Oh, sure.
Now, yeah. did you have a separate group set up, Chuck? I'm just, I don't know yet.
People... I'm going to work on that because, as I mentioned, the Uber right. driver was interested in going. I haven't even been off the cruise for like 2 days and I've already got a lead.
Yeah. I have a gentleman who's actually booked already and he put me down as his landing party. I met him through Instagram because he was watching the hashtag that I was posting.
So there you go.
So, I mean, and it's all just about, yeah. And I think my mom has asked if she can come this year, so I might get another one from her.
Oh, mom.
And
wait,
if you've,
so hey, your mom said she would put my name down. What?
Hey.
Oh, hey.
That's a really weird your mom joke. I don't get it.
What cabin is she staying in, Craig?
Mine. Oh, wait. Never mind.
Step back on topic. Back on topic. Topic is track. We had two questions that came in. I posted we were going to do this episode, and I had two questions asked. Gary wrote in and said, how much costume wearing opportunities are there? And what if you're not into Trek, but your partner is? Is there enough regular stuff going on? So hopefully, Gary, we've answered both of those questions. You can wear your costumes pretty much anytime you want to. And as Craig was talking about, his wife, Kim, is not really into Trek. So she found other things to do. Sometimes you just want to sit in your cabin. If you got a balcony, look out the balcony, walk around the ship. Certainly the shore excursions don't have to be Trek themed. Mine just happened to have Michael Dorn there, but I just booked that directly. So there are other things you can do, shopping on shore. And then our other question from Melissa, I think this one is a little bit harder, but hopefully we accomplished it. She wrote, I only want to know everything. Well, the amount of time we've spent talking about the cruise, hopefully we've given you everything we know, or at least a majority of it. If we haven't, you can leave a note over on our Facebook page at The Topic is Trek, or you can tweet us at The Topic is Trek, or you can contact any of us individually. We'll be giving you some information on that in just a few minutes. Is there anything you guys can think of that we didn't cover that you want to make sure people know about the Star Trek Cruise 3?
I think we got it.
Okay.
It was a good time. Excellent. It was a good time. Thank you. This is definitely going to go down as one of my fondest memories of hanging out with you guys. This was just a wonderful time.
It absolutely was.
Agreed.
All right. And on that note, we're going to wrap things up. It's about time to refill the dilithium chamber and get on out of here. You can find me, Clinton, at comedyforecast.com, all one word with the number 4. You can find me on Twitter at Comedy Forecast. You can find me on Facebook at Comedy Forecast. I mean, you get the idea for that. You guys, Chuck and Craig, tell us where they can tell the lovely listener where they can find you.
You can find our Technorama podcast anywhere you can Google the term Technorama podcast. But the easiest place is over at chuckchat.com.
Yes.
And
ding. Ding.
And CJ, do you want to remain anonymous?
I'm still on Twitter. My Twitter is CJPHX for CJ Phoenix because I live in the Phoenix area. My website, which has all of my, which will have some pictures from the cruise with my with naked Justin Bieber, who is my traveling companion. He is twinklergirl.com, so you can check that out. And yeah. Those are the best places to meet up with me right now. I'm also Twinkler Girl on Instagram. That has a lot of photos from the cruise as well.
Excellent. 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 All right. I think it's time to hit the theme. If you like the show, please be sure to tell a friend about it and subscribe so you never miss an episode. We'd love to hear from you. Follow us on Twitter at The Topic is Trek, visit our Facebook page, or visit thetopicistrek.com. Until next time, on behalf of Chuck, Craig, CJ, and myself, I'm Clinton, thanking you for listening. And as we always say here on The Topic is Trek, don't put on the red shirt.
When you're poolside.
Should have told the people on Star Trek Cruise 2 that.
Yeah, we got a nice aqua one and a blue. It's nice. All ashore.